Enough about my panties. Let's record this episode.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Kelvin Hatley. He's never been on our podcast before, and he decided he wanted to talk about Islamophobia because he's a comedian and it's a super silly topic.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And, of course, Molly Glover.
And her panties.
You people are so bummed that you weren't here for the pre-show banter. It was brilliant. We are joined by our good friend Kelvin Hatley. It's your first time on our podcast.
It is,
Kelvin.
Yes. Yay!
Yeah, I've not been on here yet.
I don't know how that.
New friend of the show.
I don't know. I guess because I just never had scintillating topics to discuss.
And you've come up with a
that's
super
never stopped us.
I was gonna say, a lot of people think that they aren't interesting enough to be on our show, but the secret is neither are we.
I mean, I can blather on about any number of things.
Well, good, because we brought you on to blather on about something.
We did.
We are gonna blather on about Islamophobia.
Yeah.
And you were like, it was weird. It was after a show that Kelvin and I did together, and we were sitting around, and Kelvin's like, well, you know, I want to come on Geeks Without God, but I don't really have a topic. And then as often happens with Kelvin, if you know Kelvin, of course, you listeners don't, he just blurted out, well, how about Islamophobia? And I was like, all right, sure. Let's do it.
So, not Islamophobia. Not like let's go do Islamophobia, let's record about it.
Yeah, let's talk about
and
it.
How it's bad.
And how it's bad. So, Kelvin, what made you want to talk about Islamophobia? Why did you bring that up as a topic?
I guess because I often, from what, I mean, I'm not like way deep into the atheist culture, if there is such a thing. I guess.
Oh, but you haven't gotten an invite yet.
Yeah. Is it an evite?
It's a hive of scum and villainy.
It is an evite.
It just seems like the vibe I always get, you know, like, well, first of all, Islamophobia is a pretty horrible situation. I think it's fucking up the world's foreign policy pretty horribly. And I always got this vibe from a lot of atheists that was just sort of like it was kind of a non-issue because, like, well, if they just weren't Muslim, it'd stop.
Oh.
Or something, you know, and I could never accept that.
I think there's I personally think that there's a, just like there is a distinction between cultural Jews and religious Jews, there's a similar thing with Muslims in that there are people who are culturally Muslim who maybe don't practice or who aren't fervent or radical, just like, you know, but that the thing is, and I think in America, there are a lot of people, and not just America, and we're seeing it in England and in France, a lot of the Western European countries, the white countries, that you're not seeing like the people, the white people in those countries get panics because they can't separate the two ideas.
In England and France right now, they're having really big issues politically with that. That's where Brexit came from.
No, that's what I'm saying. They can't separate the two concepts.
Oh, okay,
They see hijab and they immediately are like, that's a potential terrorist.
So
they can't separate the concepts.
Is it? I kind of think that, and I mean, I'm not super informed, but to me, it feels like most of what is Islamophobia is really just racism and has nothing to do with the religion at all. Like,
I would think so, but
yeah.
I mean, you know,
I think
Islam is associated with brown people. Buddhism is associated with Asians. Hinduism is associated with Indians.
But you don't hear a lot of people.
It's always
being
like an ethnic thing.
I don't hear a lot of racist comments about Buddhists. You know, like, you don't hear a lot of racist comments about Hindus a little bit. You get the whole, like, jokes about their elephant gods and, like, the usual, like, gross racist
and
stuff.
And they don't
that.
Eat, they don't eat cows.
Yeah. Like, and I think that...
It depends on the strain of Buddhism you're talking about, I think. But because, like, okay, this is possibly a controversial opinion here, but I think there are many strains of Buddhism that are, for all practical intents and purposes, atheism.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are.
And, you know,
a philosophy more than a
yeah, yeah, Zen stuff is pretty non-supernatural.
I think, Nick, to your point about it being more racism, I think that, you know, I don't remember there being this much Islamophobia prior to September 11th, 2001.
Well, right.
Now, I know that to some people is like, well, of course, because that's when we knew their true intentions. And it's like, but no, all the shit they're using to back up their evidence as to why Muslims are dangerous, that stuff was all in the Quran. And it was all there before. All this shit people bitch about, like, oh, they have jihads and they have this. It's like, I mean, they've always, that's the books you're citing.
Yeah.
Have been around this whole time. So, like, you're really, the only thing that's coloring and changing your opinion are the acts of a very, very, very few people who happen to share the same religion
who are mostly from one country that hasn't faced any consequences for, right. I mean, like...
A radical sect.
It's yeah. I mean, the majority of the people involved were from Saudi Arabia, which is
somehow, we have...
They're cool with the United States, but we fuck up like everywhere else in the Middle East. It's just, there's not a lot of logic to it.
We were attacked by a bunch of Saudi Arabians, so we went to a war with Iraq, which, you know.
Makes perfect sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So part of me wonders, because there have been other attacks by, I don't want to say Muslim groups. I want to say radical Islamic terrorist splinter groups.
Right.
There have been more in Europe. You know, there have been, you know, others here. And I think that, but I think that catalyst of 9/11 really, do you think that gave other radical groups more permission in the sense that, like, someone managed something? Or do you think that that it's a chicken and egg situation where, because all the anti-Islamic sentiment swelled after that happened, that created more of these splinter groups? I know.
I think it's just a lot of it is just kind of like a lack of exposure. I mean, you know, like the mythical average American, you know, how many Muslims do they know?
I'm going to say zero. Honestly, I think the average American probably knows 0.1 Muslims.
Yeah, about 0.1
like statistically, like how we all have more than the average number
about
of legs.
Like Muslims per capita.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And
how many, like, yeah.
Here's the thing that happened, and it was done ostensibly for Muslim reasons or goals or whatever. And so, like, that is just their perception of, like, what Muslims is. Or it could be, and I think this is true with a lot of certain types of Christians, is that they kind of project their own goals onto other people.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, well, our goal is to make everyone Christian.
Therefore.
So therefore an atheist's goal is to make everyone atheist and a Muslim's goal is to make everyone Muslim. And I've never found that a major goal in life.
It's so interesting, that cognitive dissonance of how Christians, even like some fundamentalist Christians, will say the people in the Westboro Baptist Church, they don't represent me. I don't. They're not like me.
They're extremists.
The people who bomb abortion clinics, they're extremists. They're not Christians. They're not real Christians. They don't get that. But those same people have no problem saying, No. These people that did the bombings, you know, who claim to be, you know, doing it, you know, in the name of Islam, they're the same as you. You, regular peaceful person who is a practicing Muslim who, you know, believes in the tenets of the Quran.
Well, if we're going to talk about, like, Christian hypocrisy when it comes to condemning Islam, I mean...
And why wouldn't we?
It's the worry and the panic and the fear about Sharia law ever, like, being a thing in the United States.
When it already is.
But all those same people are like, trying to tear down the separation of church and state.
Heartbeat like, laws. Girls have to have their skirts a certain length. Yeah. Can't show your bra straps. Mm. Like, no gay marriage. Like, yep, it's yeah.
It's the same shit. It's the same kind of religious conservatism.
Well, this, I don't know, like this weird obsession with symbols. As long as there's enough American flags and crosses on something, it's okay.
Yeah, as long as
I mean, it's the exact, you know, if you just kind of swap out the, like the logos.
As long as a politician wears an American flag on their lapel, then they're okay. Talking to Islamophobia and specifically thinking about this from an atheist point of view, it's something that I've actually encountered in the last few months. The issue when it comes to being critical of Islam as a religion,
right,
versus being critical of Muslims as people.
Yeah.
And the fact that in this country right now, because we have a president and a party in power that is massively Islamophobic, no matter how much they say they are not, especially based on the concept that they're trying to push through a travel ban for a bunch of people who have, to date, not committed a single violent act in this country.
A band that they have themselves referred to several times as a Muslim band.
Yeah.
A band.
Yeah.
And as,
a Muslim band sounds kind of rocking.
And I should be clear. I mean, yes, probably some of them have committed violent acts. I mean, no mass murders. No terrorist acts.
You can't point to any group of individuals and say none of them have done a bad thing.
Right, like, right. But the fact is that banning these people from entering our country shows absolutely no evidence of protecting our country from harm. And in fact, all evidence points right now to the fact that the best way to protect our country from harm is to take guns out of the hands of certain religious extremists.
You mean those white Christian men that keep shooting everybody in America?
Right. And so in spite of the fact that we've got the evidence that that would reduce the number of deaths in our country far more than a ban on people from Muslim countries entering our country, that's what we're doing, and that's Islamophobia. But because that's happening, it becomes a problem to be critical of the idea of Islam, which as atheists, I mean, I can only speak for myself here, but as an atheist, I think Islam is as fundamentally dangerous a concept as Christianity.
Religion's dangerous.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Full stop. Wicca is dangerous to me.
Islam is a system used to oppress people. And I think that religious ideas are inherently dangerous or skew negative, because believing in things that aren't there is harmful.
And I think it's important I'm glad you said people, because I think a lot of times what a lot of atheists harp on is Islam is a religion that oppresses women. And they focus on that. And it's not just women. People, all genders are oppressed by Islam in the sense that in that same way that we talk about how toxic masculinity is as bad for people who identify as men as it is people who identify as women, right? Because like it's harming men just as much to not be able to express, you know, feelings or to have to be a certain, you know, like type in order to be considered a real man or whatever. Similarly, it's just as bad, you know, if you were in an Islamic country, and what if you don't think that you should have to feel that way about a lot of things, about women, about, you know, yourself. If you don't think that you should be if you think you and your wife should have an equal partnership and your religion says differently, there's a lot of that. It's just like how Mormonism oppresses everyone.
No.
But yeah, it's worse for women, but it oppresses everyone in the religion.
It doesn't have to be a competition.
Exactly.
To see who's the most oppressed. Yeah. I don't know how it is. I feel woefully uninformed. I feel like a lot of what I would associate with predominantly Muslim countries or countries where there's an official religion. I don't know how it is there in everyday life or how people live
You know, it's complicated because a lot of them are outright dictatorships.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, they're a dictatorship because they're Muslim. Well, I don't know about
they're,
that.
They're dictatorships that use Islam as a means of control. I mean, that's what Iran does.
Right.
Iran uses Islam as a means of control. Mm-hmm. The United States uses Christianity as a means of control. So Islam is the tool, but it's not the problem in and of itself. I mean, I think if you got rid of Islam, you would get rid of a powerful tool, and it would be harder to oppress in the same ways.
Kelvin, do you feel like it's easier to be critical of Christianity because most American atheists come from a Christian background as opposed to a Muslim one? And
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about Islam really to provide some sort of weird, intense criticism of it. But I mean,
yeah.
It is the average Christian walking down the street doing horrible anti-woman, anti-gay things? I mean, I don't know. I think probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Right.
You know, but, you know, so I just try not to. But yeah, I mean, we're much closer to weird Christian things that are happening.
Well, and like,
and it affects our everyday life.
And why? But we're obsessed with this thing that is not a problem here, really.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
I think part of where Islamophobia comes from is that we don't understand Islam really. I mean, we think we do, but most of us don't have a full understanding. You know, we assume that the way women in Islam dress is something that is dictated by the religion, which is not. It is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's. The religion has certain tenets that
it's not like American Christians and Judaism, where they kind of look at Jews as sort of like their retarded little brother. or like, they're almost.
Or like, oh, that's my old grandpa. He has backwards views. Like,
like some sort of weird condescending.
It's just like thing, how lots of Jews don't keep kosher. And it doesn't make them any less Jewish, but to the Jews that keep kosher, they might think it does. Like there's weird levels and hierarchies in religions that are crazy.
Maybe with what Cullen's saying, it's more like because we've had more exposure to Judaism, and because there's so much Jewish culture in American culture, there's not this xenophobia because they're not strange, they're not foreign, they're not other, they're familiar. And I mean, obviously there's still a lot of anti-Semitism, and there's still a lot of like crazy fucking conspiracy theory nonsense people who talk about, you know, like Zion taking over the Illuminati, whatever,
or chemtrails. Or just sort of, you know, the kind of the soft racism of, I like Jews, they're really funny.
Yeah, they make great lawyers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
But so the thing is, like, we don't see that with Hindus. Like, there's no laws trying to get passed to ban people from predominantly Hindu countries. I mean, maybe it's because they're not as big of a religion. The thing is, I genuinely think that if you look at our movies even, like, prior to 9/11, all of our bad guys were Russians. Or, like, in Back to the Future, the Libyans. Right, it's right. Like,
well, there were some. I mean, like True Lies was before 9/11,
but
so there
sure.
Were,
but it was a very loose Middle Eastern sort of threat, and like ever since those planes, like everything shifted to like unspecified country Arab, and like terrorist became a word that was synonymous with brown Muslim. Even though the majority of the terrorist acts that have happened in America have been perpetrated by white Christian men.
Yep. Well, so question with a follow-up.
But they're not called terrorist acts because they were perpetrated by white Christian men.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So question with a follow-up. So how much oil does India have? And follow-up question, how much meddling in India's politics has America done? Like, how many coups have we supported in India?
Well, I
know this is just a weird thing I happen to know because it's related to Richard Nixon.
which is a Kelvin obsession.
Yeah. Nixon was made kind of a weird thing where he like was more openly supportive of Pakistan over India.
Or Israel, you mean?
Or no, Pakistan.
Oh, over India.
Pakistan,
oh, sure.
India.
Yes, because, yes. I was thinking this... Palestine.
Yes, yes.
I was still stuck on the Jewish-Muslim thing.
Get off the Jews.
What are you talking to high school me?
There was this perception in like the 60s and 70s that India was a little too close to the Soviet Union.
Mm. Interesting.
They were more communist sympathetic.
Yeah. Just too friendly.
And so Nixon did this thing where he like supported Pakistan, and he is the only American president to get I don't know what it's called, but like Pakistan's highest civilian honor.
Sure.
Huh.
They gave him some kind of medal or something. And it literally was just because like it was just a strict anti-communist.
Thing. Yeah, that was common in that era. You know, you go for the countries.
I mean, India doesn't. You know how many? I know India has natural resources, but I don't know what they are.
I'm pretty sure they have oil, but the thing is that we can it's easier to get the oil from the Middle East than it is from India. So I mean, pretty much any place that had animals and plants around the same the same era has oil deposits.
But they might not be able to get to them because of the people living over them.
People living somewhere where oil is never really slowed down.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to stop anything.
So I have a question. In America, as atheists, and I would dare say as outspoken atheists who are openly critical of religion, is it...
Fuck religion, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But who are also very, very aware, and I'm not going to say woke, but trying very hard not to be racist and being aware of microaggressions. And to me, I feel like I go out of my way to make sure anyone I see in a hijab or other you know, Muslim dresses.
Trying to be active allies.
Active allies. Smiling, being nice, right?
Sure.
Is it hypocritical to, where Christianity is the dominant religion in our country, is it hypocritical to be more kind toward people who potentially practice a Muslim faith, Islam, than people who very clearly are wearing crosses and are Christian without knowing anything about the person other than this outward appearance of religiosity? Like, I am going to be a lot nicer to somebody I see wearing a hijab than I am to somebody wearing a big old fucking cross. Like,
I'm probably that way too. And I think it just, you know, it's not a good thing necessarily, but I think it just boils down to, Muslims are more exotic.
Is it a punching up thing?
I haven't had that much exposure to them, so they're new and things. And
does that mean you feel like you need to be nicer to them because because they're new to you? Or
I guess so. I mean, I've dealt with certainly far, far, far more extreme expressions of Christianity than I have with extreme expressions of Islam.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's what's predominant.
I think that's it. I think as atheists in America, the immediate threat, if one wants to characterize that way, is Christianity. It
Absolutely.
It is not Islam, and Islam is under attack by Christianity as well.
Yeah. Like they don't need me to pile on.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Like, say you really hate broccoli, and you've been eating broccoli for years and years and years. You also hate asparagus, but then someone gives you asparagus, and it's like, well, this is different, at least.
So Islamophobia is the inability to recognize that asparagus is okay, too.
What? It's okay. I think that in your example, Molly, one of those two people belongs to a marginalized group in our country, and one belongs to a... empowered majority.
Now that's good, because that speaks directly to my follow-up question. So let's say the Christian's black. Right? And that's the thing, is like, now I'm not seeing a Christian American. I am seeing a black American who unfortunately happens to be Christian. And again, it's like, man, you got enough problems. Like there's enough white people getting in your space.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I deal with because the church is such a huge thing in the black community because they didn't have anything else.
Well, because they were like essentially when they were brought over. Yeah. They were.
I'm probably sounding racist. Right?
No, because the majority. Of...
I mean, maybe we shouldn't all say no. We don't get to decide.
That's right. We don't get. But I mean, I think the point is that most black people in this country have a background. I mean, their families are here, an ancestry that relates back to slavery. And that means, and slaves were indoctrinated into Christianity, mm-hmm. you know, and to the point that, you know, you're born with it, you're raised with it, the same as you're born and raised with it, that white people are born and raised with it, except that it was essentially forced upon them.
Yeah.
As the religion of their owners.
I bet heaven sounded nice. I'm just saying.
Heaven
sounded like it was your actual reward for, like, it's the thing. Like, my biggest argument for atheism or against Christianity is, this is what we get. Why isn't this good enough for you? Yeah. Right? You can't make that argument to a slave.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I'm sorry. Is this not good enough for you?
Do you not like this?
You need to think of some perfect world where there's no pain or suffering beyond the veil.
So, this is just a weird, disturbing thought I had. So, like, slavery would be okay if they had religious freedom? If the slaves are able to pick their own belief system, would slavery be okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Kelvin Hatley can be reached at...
Does their belief system include that they shouldn't be slaves? Because
if the first tenet of their new faith is slaves are bad, like,
or slavery.
No, slavery is bad. Jesus, thank you.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Don't own slaves." There you go.
Boom.
Boom. So, we probably have really said awful things.
I'm glad that we, four white people, were able to fumble our way through a conversation.
Yeah, I know.
But it's time for five questions.
I don't have the vocabulary for a lot of this stuff.
We should all feel more comfortable here. But I think the point is that this is an uncomfortable topic. It is, as atheists, again, I am critical of Islam in terms of its existence. I'm critical of the fact that it, like any other religion, I feel is used to oppress. It is used for people to advance their own opinions, whatever their opinions are, under the guise of a god. And I think that's wrong. But I also think that the problem that we face, especially in Europe and America, is that right now, what we're judging people on is a concept of Islam we don't even understand. And we're judging them because they might be Islamic, because they look like what we think Islamic people look like. And then we assume because they are Islamic, they are more prone to violence than, say, white male Christians, mm-hmm. which is wrong.
Statistically untrue.
So is the solution we need more white Muslims?
No, that's interesting.
So moving on to five questions. It's time for our five questions.
Five questions, none of which can concern Islamophobia.
Unless, I don't know, it depends on Kelvin's answers.
So Mari...
My favorite conspiracy is that the Muslims are controlling everything. No.
Molly, why don't you start us out with question number one, although there was a bit of a spoiler there from Kelvin.
What conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting and or compelling?
That's a tough one.
Dilly of a pickle.
I know. I was kind of infatuated with Kennedy assassination stuff for a while.
Me too.
But... and I don't know enough about this to really comment a lot about it, but the Merovingian conspiracy is really damn weird.
What is the Merovingian?
Is that the Rosicrucians?
It's people who believe there are descendants of Jesus.
Yeah.
That Jesus, like, reproduced somehow, which is still like, wait, what? To me, but... And there was apparently some kind of conspiracy dating way back to the Middle Ages where they were trying to replace the crowned heads of Europe with descendants of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were like
what the hell?
There were like there were 30 years where Jesus was doing stuff that, or 20 years. There was a period of time where
he died at 30. There's 20 years in between where we don't hear anything about him.
That's 20 years of boning.
And
I mean, he was like 13 to 33. Yeah. So and some I don't of the know about some you, of Nick. The wait, I do know about you, and that was 20 years of boning.
Some of the Gnostic Bibles, some of the Gnostic parts of the Bible that were eliminated, I believe, refer to the fact that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married and therefore could have reproduced. So, I mean, it's not that that part of it isn't completely fucking weird, but what grew from it is completely fucking weird.
If have you read Preacher, Kelvin? Because
I read like
a little bit.
So like a little bit of
so in Preacher, he is they introduced Jesse to, I mean the Grail, who is the great whatever how many greats grandson of Jesus Christ, because they've been inbreeding, and this is like this kid is so fucking mental,
no full sentences,
like hunky like throwing his own feces, like doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Like
it sounds worse when you say it out loud than when you read it on the page. I think
it's well, it's he a comic from the 90s.
He suffers from extreme mental disability.
I
wouldn't even say that. It's not. It's beyond.
It's 2,000 years of inbreeding to get an end result.
It's a joke. Like it's the thing. Like no one is like this. Like is the joke. Like but anyway.
Yeah.
It's that. That's all I can think of with the.
It's either the Merovingian thing or just the whole America itself was a Masonic conspiracy because the Masons all wrote the Constitution and built. Symbols into Washington, D.C. and things.
Oh, yeah. You ever look at the back of a dollar bill?
There's Masonic symbols on it. All right, Nick, question number two.
Question number two is, what's your perfect two-week vacation? Money's no object. Physics is still a limiting factor.
Can't go to Pluto.
God, I...
Takes longer than 2 weeks.
It would take longer than 2 weeks to get to Pluto. Man, oh, man, I've never really had an income level where I thought about trips much. So I just kind of never thought about them. I would really love to visit Japan. The language would really suck. That would be a big factor. God, honestly, I wouldn't mind going to... I don't know, not an original choice, I suppose, but just Great Britain and Scotland and visit like the really old stuff.
Go visit Doctor Who sites.
I would do that, definitely.
Stop at a few quarries.
Stop at a few quarries and just visit, maybe not Stonehenge because that's too touristy, but you know,
Stonehenge is pretty cool.
Old stone. I heard it was really boring. I've heard people like who like went to Stonehenge and said it was like a crushing disappointment.
Because it's just some rocks or whatever?
Because it's like just some rocks and there's like nothing really there. There's like no...
Were they expecting some sort of spiritual significance?
There wasn't... You know, like you go to like a historical site in America and there's some kind of, you know, a gift shop or an interpretive center or something.
Well, there's no interpretive... Yeah, in like Europe, for a lot of those places, not like a bunch of interpretive signs that describe it. You've got to go to the gift shop and like buy a book that will explain these things to you. Otherwise, you have to just look at it and figure shit out for yourself. But yeah.
You mean they haven't found a way to monetize and capitalize on their beautiful historic sites like we have?
They still
or
have
maybe they just have too many ancient sites.
Like and too
we
much
just
history?
They're just pickier about what they monetize, right?
What are we going to put a sign up for every fucking Roman brick in the ground?
Exactly. You got to sign up for something that was built in 1880. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. America, yeah. I'm so impressed.
When your country's only 200 and some years old, maybe it's a little easier.
Yeah, exactly.
So probably like a pub and whiskey distillery tour of Great Britain and Scotland and seeing some ancient sites. Or basically a MegaCon that was 2 weeks long.
So there'd also be some board games.
It may not be as
tabletop game oriented, but yeah.
Only sex stuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got okay.
Okay. So question number three, what is a book or movie that changed your life and why?
Oh, man. I'm trying not to pick the most obvious thing in the world and say Star Wars.
I was going to say, that's fine because Tim prefers it to be a movie, so you could just
make it a movie.
Because like Star Wars was the first, you know, I'm old enough that I have significant childhood memories that are pre-Star Wars.
Were you into any sci-fi before Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. I always was.
Not that Star Wars is sci-fi, just shut up, I know, but yes.
No, God.
You were into Doctor Who, and you've been into a lot of older... Well,
Doctor Who wasn't really
Doctor Who wasn't around in the Twin Cities until after Star Wars.
Really?
I
don't remember being aware of it until the early 80s.
When did I become aware of Doctor Who? It was about roughly contemporaneous with when Star Wars came out, because I grew up in southern Minnesota, and for what, and there's a long convoluted reason for this and I'm not going to get into it, but the first place in America to show Doctor Who was Iowa Public Television.
Ooh.
Huh.
And I was close enough to the border that we got Iowa Public Television.
Huh.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like Doctor Who was early 80s. I don't feel like it was showing on Twin Cities Public Television earlier than that. And
Twin
so,
Cities, probably not.
Well, it was on PBS in at least as early as 85.
Sure. Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or 84.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure early 80s. I remember watching Doctor Who before I was in high school, and I graduated
in
85.
But not maybe late 70s. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't alive.
Yeah, but Star Wars was the first thing I ran into where, like, I felt like there was some overlap between me and the rest of the world. Because I really liked it, and it was, like, exactly what I wanted to experience, mm-hmm. and everyone else seemed to be into it, which was, like, a weird phenomenon for me at the age of, how old was I? 11 or 12.
That's awesome.
So, slightly older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, or kind of a secondary choice would be a Peter Bogdanovich movie called Paper Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Paper Moon.
Because
Tatum O'Neill won the Oscar.
Yeah. Because it was the first, like, full-on adult movie I could remember seeing as a kid that I completely watched beginning to end. And,
like, not, like, really adult liked. Movie,
no,
but,
no,
like adult.
A grown-up. A boring-ass grown-up movie.
A boring-ass grown-up movie.
With, like, emotions and themes and semantics.
It's set in the Great Depression, and it's filmed in black and white. And I think that made me kind of feel like it was a Laurel and Hardy short on some level, even though it's utterly not like that.
That's great.
But yeah, no.
That's awesome.
So either Star Wars or Paper Moon, I'll say.
I love it.
Good answers.
Question number four. What is the geekiest thing you have ever done?
This is going to be hard for you to narrow down.
It's really tough for me to...
You've done a lot of geeky things.
I have. I the stuff with Soylent Theater I did a few years ago with Joseph and Joshua Scrimshaw. And
I don't see how your answer isn't performing in Klingon.
There's that. that's another big one. I've been in a Klingon Christmas Carol the past 2 years.
Is performed in Klingon.
Which is performed in Klingon.
Not like, I mean, like you guys aren't, I mean, you the whole play, you memorize Klingon.
There's a narrator who's a Vulcan who speaks in English. Because there's like a framing sequence of like it's a Vulcan language institute and we're studying Klingon literature or something.
Amazing.
But I mean I only know Klingon in a phonetic kind of rote memorization way. But I played Scooja the first year, which is the Scrooge part. And the second year I played Catchit, which is the Catchit. It's more of a coffee.
Wow, that was a major pop on the microphone.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Which is the Bob Cratchit equivalent. And this coming year, I'm going to be playing the ghost of Kayla's past.
Oh God,
which is an original series Klingon.
That's
great.
That's part of the shtick. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I think that's up there. I mean, I've done a lot of geeky stuff.
I've done a lot of geeky theater like that. Yeah.
I seem to recall as part of Stolen Theater, which was a sketch comedy nerd thing that you did at Convergence. One of my favorite things that I remember you doing was you all did some slash fiction.
Yes.
And you wrote Kit Herbie the Love Bug slash fiction.
Oh God.
Knight Rider Herbie the Love. Two cars doing it.
Yes.
I kind of set it up to make it look like it was going to be Michael Knight from Knight Rider. Yeah. Like, was gonna get it on or something, but then Herbie the Love Bug rolls up and starts starts like humping a kid or something.
Didn't you also play the main love interest in the Chuck Tingle Pounded in the Tingle play that just happened as well, which is a pretty geeky thing as it well.
There were multiple major.
There were multiple love interests. He's the one that got to have sex with his own butt.
I was the guy who got pounded in the butt by his own butt.
You got pounded in the butt by your own butt. It's pretty.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah. I cloned my butt and fell in love with
Kirk it. Kirk Porter was his character name.
Yeah.
Dr. Kirk Porter.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Question five?
Yeah.
Are we up to five?
We are. Yeah. What is your favorite hangover cure?
And I know you get hungover because we go to a MegaCon together and I've seen you.
No, it happens. I've never come up with like a really great one, and I hate.
What do you do when you're hungover?
I hate to sound really super boring and everything, but it's probably just water and aspirin and like toast.
So yeah, water, aspirin, and like and plain bread, or do you put butter on that toast?
I'll butter the toast.
Yeah, yeah.
Just dumb old toast.
That's you're not. But we've had a lot of these, and
so hydrate, carbs, and pain reliever.
Yeah.
Aspirin is an interesting choice because aspirin is a blood thinner, so you're double thinning your blood out.
I've heard you're not supposed to take acetaminophen.
Tylenol bothers your liver. Some people will say Advil, but that upsets your stomach. So it's like you really can't win with your pain relievers.
I'm kind of a weirdo in that I've always kind of preferred just plain old generic aspirin, which
like really, Anacin.
Yeah, well, like, no, I mean, like, the super cheap, like, Walgreens.
I know, do you have a tin of Anacin?
Just, like, a little plastic bottle of little white pills.
No, it's in a little metal tin, and you open it up, and you take a couple, put them under your tongue for your heartbeat.
Everyone looks at me like kind of a weirdo when I just take plain aspirin, but that's...
Hey, if it works, man.
Yeah.
Get with the times, old man. Yeah. Advil liquid caps or get the fuck out.
I think,
take your NSAIDs out of here, millennial.
I think the really important thing we need to remember here is that Muslims take aspirin just like everybody else.
That's right.
Calvin,
is there kosher aspirin? Is there halal aspirin?
It'd be halal,
yeah. Oh, man, there might be.
It could be. I don't think there's animals.
Just because how there's like they put gluten-free on like water? Or GMO, GMO free on water.
Liquid yeah. caps are usually or frequently gelatin. Advil may not
it's
be halal.
It's not vegetarian, really so take, yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to take B vitamins if you're a vegan.
Yeah.
Because that's usually where their dietary needs are like not enough B vitamins. And
they get them from bees.
Yeah, and there you go. and you know, the capsules always have kind of animal product gelatin in them. Or
it's rough. It's hard to be a vegan. All right. And we can make fun of vegans because they, unless they're Muslim.
We can make fun of them for being a vegan.
And then I just get confused.
The only minority we can still terribly savage.
Are vegans.
Are vegans.
And regular old white dudes.
To political correctness. We can make fun of are vegans.
Oh, my life is hard.
Counterpoint, making fun of vegans is pretty fucked.
Won't someone think of the white male comedians?
Speaking of white male comedians, we'd like to thank Kelvin for being with us here
Yay!
Today.
Thank you.
Hey, Kelvin, you have a podcast that you should, because, you know, we're geeks, and your podcast is a geeky topic,
it's
is it
true.
Not?
Yes, I am one third of the people who put together Get Off My World, which is a Doctor Who podcast. We focus primarily on the original series of Doctor Who, and we talk more about the not the TV show itself, but like the spin-off media, like the audio adventures and the novels. We talk about them like to a greater degree.
So it's super deep cut Doctor Who.
It's pretty super deep cut Doctor
All
Who.
All right.
That sounds pretty nerdy.
It does, but it somehow was not the geekiest thing you've ever done.
No. we're kind of behind on our releasing schedule because of life.
I hate that.
But we did release the second part of our Peter Capaldi retrospective just like this past week.
Huh.
So where can they find that?
It's on iTunes, and we get off this world, you know, getoffmyworldpodcast.com.
Sweet.
We're done.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelvin. If you listeners out there have any thoughts about Islamophobia, clearly we're not experts. You probably are. Feel free to tell us all the places we were wrong. It's completely fine. We're used to it. Nick especially, he argues on the internet all the time. There are people telling him wrong all over the place. And if you want to know about that, we'll talk about it on our next episode.
Yeah, we will.
And if you want to hear that episode early, well, you could support us on Patreon, which a lot of people are doing right now. We're getting close to that $150 goal, which will help us upgrade our website. And we are also getting ready to do another special episode for those folks that support us on Patreon.
Spoiler alert, it involves spirits from beyond.
Spirits from beyond. Oh my God. So it'll be very exciting. Thanks for joining us. We will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Muslims.
Ah!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I swear I'm not making this up.